HQ presents The Woman in the Woods by Lisa Hall, read by Harry Dobby. Smothering, the heavy press of a pillow against nose and mouth. That's the thought that swoops and swirls across my mind as I pause, one hand against the wall. My heart hammers in my chest, so hard that I can barely breathe as I glance up at the landing, the stairs and mountain to climb before me. I fight against the tightness in my chest, against the nausea that makes saliva flood my mouth, and I step forward onto the first step, teetering on the edge. It's as if there is a voice whispering in my ear, telling me there's still time. I can take my foot off the step, lay it back on the solid floor, and then turn and run. Or I can raise the other foot, take another step towards the inevitable. There is a roaring sound in my ears, similar to the noise you hear when you raise a shell to your ear to hear the crashing of the ocean. I can still feel the creak of the stairs underfoot, even if I can't hear it, as I raise first one foot, then the other, climbing towards the top. By allowing myself to climb those stairs, I have made my decision. There can be no going back, not now. Reaching the landing, a cold puddle of moonlight pulls across the threadbare carpet, and I feel the chill of it beneath my bare feet, feel the scratchiness of the worn carpet fibres against my skin. I take a moment, glancing out of the window to the darkness outside, my head feeling light and swimmy. My vision blurs slightly, and blinking rapidly, I try to clear my sight, letting my gaze be drawn to the white of the moon. I need to be able to see clearly, to do what must be done. My pulse skitters under my skin, and I have to let out a long breath as I peer into the room ahead, seeing her tiny body in the bed in front of me, a frayed blue blanket laid across the foot of the bed as unfamiliar shadows dance across the ceiling. There is a breeze coming from somewhere, stirring the thick, heavy air, a window left open in another room, perhaps. The cold brushes over my nose, my cheeks, my fingers, and the frayed cuffs of my linen shirt hang limply over my wrists, tickling my sweaty palms. There is a thudding at my temples, a low-level nausea starting to swirl in my stomach, and I have to swallow, my throat painfully dry. Everything has already come undone, and there is only one way I can put things right. I can't stop now. There is no alternative. If they had just left me alone, none of this would be happening. Chapter 1. What did I do? The question is on my lips as I struggle my way into consciousness, my heart hammering in my chest, my nightshirt stuck to my damp body. The baby snuffles in the cot next to the bed, a faint intake of breath that turns into a squeak. I know cries will follow, and as soon as they do, my body reacts accordingly. Air hisses out from between my teeth as there is a sharp, almost painful tingle in my breasts, and the baby squawks in response, as if he knows. Al. Rav nudges me gently, but I close my eyes, pretending I don't hear him. Ali, the baby. He's crying. I don't need to put the lamp on. A shaft of moonlight slices through the gap in the curtains, and I see the soft curve of the baby's head, the tiny fists that pump the air as he prepares for a full-on wail. I should get to him before then. It's not fair for him to cry that hard. I lean over the cot and scoop him up, smelling that already familiar baby scent. I know that if the light were better in here, I would see his dark, almond-shaped eyes screwed tightly shut as he latches on, pain making me bite my lip. He's only 4 weeks old, but I am cracked and bleeding, something I don't remember from when I had Mina. Or maybe I've just forgotten. I would see the dark, dark hair that covers his tiny skull, hair that no one apart from me was surprised to see.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?